Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
Welcome back. It's your boy Chris and the amazing host
Tyler, y'all.
And this week we bring on the queen of the cargo district, is what I'm going to call her.
Craft cocktails.
There you go. The queen of craft cocktails in the cargo district, Miss
Kaylee.
Happy to be here.
See, I love Kaylee. I think, but technically, I know her off of Instagram. Kaylee likes pink drinks, right?
Absolutely.
I thought it was Kaylee with the pink hair. Legitimately, for like the past 6 months, I'm like, oh, Kaylee with the pink hair. And I'm like,
I was wondering why you always said that. And I was like, I mean, I did have pink hair. And I was like, that makes sense.
It's because when I found you on IG, I might have been drunk.
There's a good chance of that. So something else to shout out there, too, for anyone that may be on the, like, teetering, if they should come to the cargo district and check out Starling, is I'm typically the person that is known as the regular at the majority of bars, but Chris is known as the regular at Starling. And if you can make Chris the regular of anything, you know what's worth checking out.
Yes. I am a homebody for sure.
Yeah. You've definitely taken up a seat the past almost year since we opened in April.
See, That's what I'm here
for. One of the OGs.
Yeah.
Both of you.
Yeah. It seems weird to say that now.
I came on the first day, but Chris's has more time.
He's got to make holes on the back bar. That's why.
Yes. Yeah.
Got to finish off those bottles.
If anybody wants to join me in that pursuit, is to like anytime that they have low, just, hey, I want that. That's my goal. Does it work out for my wallet very often? No.
Hit up CT Kellum or the Whiskey and Wisdom podcast, and we'll make sure you help finish off all the bottles of Starling.
Yeah. But because Kaylee is the connoisseur of craft cocktails, she went to this amazing camp and chilled out in Kentucky for a while and brought back some really interesting whiskey. Are they bourbon or whiskey?
They're both bourbon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. See, we'll have that argument later.
And as we talked about previously, is all bourbons are whiskeys, but not all whiskeys are bourbons.
Correct.
See, she's the one I get all my info from. So when I just like, when I'm just like, oh, it's this. If it sounds stupid, it's probably because I misread what she told me.
No, you just come to the bar and you just listen to me spew and you don't ever stop me. So thanks.
No, I feel like that's the good thing. Like when you sit at a bar and the bartender has actually done their knowledge and research, like they deserve to expel that information. And then I learn something. So
it's my favorite thing to do.
So would you bring us?
All right. So today I have Bardstown Bourbon Company, one of their collaborative series editions that they did with Plantation Rum.
I love that rum.
Oh my gosh. Same. It's one of my favorites. So when I saw this originally, I was stoked about it. But then when I tried it, I was like, oh, this is one of my favorite things I've ever had probably. And so I have that and it's 114 proof. So it's a little higher, but it is delightful. And I also brought Wild Turkey Kentucky Spirit, which is their single barrel edition that they put out. They barrel that at 101 proof, so it's slightly lower proof, but still high. Still a little high. It's lower proof than the Bardstown, but it's not low proof. Don't get it twisted. But both are delicious.
So that's like close to bottled and bond? Single barrel?
Off by one proof.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be good.
We just had a bottle and bond, not... or actually, sorry, when this episode comes out, it'll be the next episode, but you'll know what it means.
Old Forester. I saw it first at the Starling and I was like, ooh, what is this? And then she educated me.
So when these episodes actually come out, this will come out before that one. So we're doing it in reverse order.
Well,
so yeah, I know.
Like
time
stay
bend.
Stay tuned for bonded whiskey next week.
Exactly.
So that's what I'm here for, is just to confuse everybody with everything.
Yeah, Chris likes to go in opposite order.
Yes. Let's pour some.
I would love Bardstown. To. Yeah, let's start with Bardstown.
I'm going to let her pour because I'm horrible at doing this.
Because Chris will load it up to the top.
Will you do me a favor and pull that off, whatever that is?
Yeah. We've established today that I am the intrapreneur for the podcast. So. Chris is just here to solve issues.
Yeah.
Chris has also not drank as much as I have today, so.
Tyler says that. I'm like, well, technically, I pour heavy for myself.
Yeah, you did have a heavier pour on their first podcast for today.
All right. So tell us a little bit about this Bardstown.
So Bardstown is a new distillery out in Kentucky. They haven't even put out their own juice yet, essentially, because they've been aging it. So they've kind of mastered this blending technique that a lot of like Canadian whiskeys do. Scotch is master blenders, but Bardstown, that's like how they've been supplementing their income, is that they got really good at blending whiskey. So this is one of the collaborations they did with Plantation Rum. Sorry, I'm going to spill this everywhere. And they took no shortcuts in that usually when you finish something in a rum barrel or any, you know, seasoned barrel, they like wash out the whole barrel first. Bardstown didn't do that. They paid the extra tariffs to keep like a gallon or so of rum left over in the barrel. Wow. When it got shipped over to Kentucky. So you actually really get this like beautiful rum flavor, even though it is Kentucky bourbon. And so that they finish it in it, and it's just absolutely fantastic. Just they knocked it out of the park.
Trey Magnifique.
Yeah.
And there's a signature on this one, too.
There is a signature. I got the master distiller to sign it when I went up there. And their distillery is gorgeous. It's huge, and it's beautiful, and it's green, and it's one of the prettiest places I think I've ever been. And then there's also really good booze there, so that was lovely.
This is a random question, and I don't know if this will make the podcast or not, but if it does, then, like, congratulations, podcast.
It's made it.
For as whiskey podcasters, for Chris and I, do you think we would qualify for Camp Runamuck?
No.
Damn.
Unfortunately. And, well, I mean, like, if...
I figured I knew the answer too,
but it was worth asking.
Yeah, they definitely try and stick to like bartenders and like hospitality professionals.
Yeah,
but they do so much cool stuff. Like, it's not just camp that is like part of that. They have like their parent company is called Lush Life, and they do like Portland Cocktail Week and a bunch of other really amazing like bartenders weekends and stuff. And there's always ways to get involved with that, even if it's not necessarily going to Camp Runamuck.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for all of you that are listening, that are part of the hospitality industry and the bartenders, Camp Runamuck.
Yeah. I cannot. Sign up. Applications are out right now. Cannot emphasize how amazing it is and how much I loved it and how much I learned there.
So, as per usual, I got to give you that quick run back. It's a 10-year-old Tennessee bourbon finished for 22 months in the plantation rum barrels.
Oh, it is a Tennessee whiskey. See, master blenders. That's like, they did not distill this whiskey.
Yeah.
So they're importing and buying it all, and they go out and taste it and make sure that they like it. And so they can claim it as a
right.
But it should have some orange peel, allspice, cinnamon with banana bread and rich caramel. Oh, my favorite is the apple crisp and molasses should be on those tasting notes.
I get the orange on the nose at least.
So yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Let's cheers it up.
Cheers. That's good.
She's spicy.
Yeah.
Definitely spicy.
I feel like if I could describe Kaylee as a drink, that wasn't
I'm honored by that.
As we go back into the actual, like, joking back and forth, Kaylee is, like we said, are you the head bartender, GM? What is your title?
I'm the bar manager.
Okay.
Do you like that little, like, wait, it's like caught up all in my throat. It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. So she's the bar manager at the Starling.
Hmm?
Tyler's
all. I like this a lot.
Good. Yeah,
I had to look and see what the label was like. Again? Yeah,
I'm burning your brain.
Yeah,
and she's curated a lot, if not most, like 86% of the drinks on the menu.
Yeah, I definitely play a significant part in creating the cocktail menu, and I do rely on my other amazing bartenders to, if they have something they're passionate about and want to put on the menu, they absolutely can. I never feel like I want to put that pressure on anyone, but yes, a lot of it is me currently.
Yeah. No, I mentioned that because we're hitting a point in year two. Technically, we're going in year two. And we'd love to bring somebody on a recurring role to come back, show us some more whiskey, help us learn some things. Because I hear in the internet of things out there that people would love to hear and learn more from us on the podcast. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to get the full story of Kaylee today. we're just chatting, loving life, kind of like when we had Catherine on.
Yeah. And then we'll also notice too, or I guess you all will notice too, that there's going to be start a video series, I guess you could say, with Kaylee and the Starling, and showing everyone what it's like to create cocktails as Chris and I show you that we are not bartenders. So the hashtag you will notice at the bottom of these things will be hashtag not a bartender with Kaylee, who's 100% a bartender and expert in what she does. So teaching someone who doesn't know what they're doing. Yes. So that'll be fun too. Teaching someone who knows nothing about being behind a bar and why each spirit is inside of the cocktail and how to actually create and craft a craft cocktail.
Yep.
So she was not lying. This thing is spicy. Like when I think of drinks, this is like something I would, as I usually come up with ideas, this is something I would drink in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. Like sitting at the house in front of a fire that I don't have currently. Like it's just, it warms you up. And especially on like cold days.
Yeah, it's super warm. And I don't know if you noticed, but like on the back end, if you look for that rum flavor, you mm-hmm. get like all that nice like molassesy, like, and it just coats the whole back of your throat and it's great.
I don't know what the mash bill on this is, and you might know more than me, but it almost kind of what Chris said, it's kind of spicy, which kind of reminds me of like rye, but mm-hmm. I know it's not rye heavy because it doesn't remind me like rye, but it almost has a good rye finish to it.
It is 84% corn, 8% rye, and 8% malted barley.
Never would have guessed that in a million years.
Yeah, but there's allspice in it, which definitely gives it a...
Sure.
So since it is a bourbon, I knew it was going to be at least 51% corn, but I knew it was going to be closer to 60, but I never would have guessed it was going to be 80-something.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location, and it's really nice. They got some greenery out back, as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you.
Yeah, that's not unusual, but I wonder, because it is technically juice from Tennessee, and I lovingly refer to whiskey as juice, I'm so sorry. That is what I mean when I say that. If they did a charcoal filtering process, or if that's playing any part into the outcome of what is in this bottle.
Can you explain what a charcoal finish is?
It's a filtering process that, like, Jack Daniels or like George Dickel use, where a lot of, like, if you've seen it on a bottle that says unfiltered, that means that they don't do any sort of process for it, but it's essentially just filtering through charcoal, which removes any impurities and gives you a different flavor. Not if you're not a whiskey expert, sometimes you wouldn't even notice something like that, apart from like, oh, this tastes mildly different than mm-hmm. another bottle. But if you're really looking for it, you can kind of taste sometimes that like smokiness that comes from charcoal, or you won't find as many, like it won't be like as hot maybe, or on like the palate. So
it's activated charcoal. Please don't try and use a charcoal grill and then filter your whiskey.
Yeah, no. We'll leave that to the professionals. Yeah, right. Leave that to the distillers.
Oh, I'm here to joke.
But for real though, so one of our favorite places, or at least my favorite place, is Kill Me Crazy, because it's right next to my office mm-hmm. and my full-time job. And they do have an activated charcoal lemonade that's there. That's very good. But yeah, you don't want to just put lemonade through your regular charcoal.
Charcoal is not something that you want to just play around with in any capacity.
Right.
Yeah. We'll leave it to those people who know what they're doing. Yes.
So since we're starting at the beginning here, what got you interested into the career path that you're in right now?
Lord. It kind of all just was serendipitous in that I got my first hostessing job in a restaurant when I was 16. And then I make a joke often where I just kind of never left a restaurant, which I can't really say anymore now that I'm only in a bar. But it was kind of like I worked my way up. I started as a host and then I started waitressing. And then as soon as I turned 21, I basically immediately started bartending. And it was something I always had been interested in. I didn't necessarily see myself doing it forever, which I do now. But yeah, I just kind of, and then I got really good at it. I like fell into it and I just kind of never stopped. And then now it's just, it takes up all of my brain.
I appreciate that. And the reason why I've been trying to get you on for months now is I frequent many bars often. So I'm considered a regular at many bars. Chris makes fun of me. Yes. But one of the things I tell all the bartenders at all of the places I frequent, when I talk to them about their career paths and everything like that and what they're doing, they're like, oh yeah, this is just like a stopping point for me. Or like, this is just a means to an end. And I always make sure I go out of my way to let them know this is a career path. If you enjoy actually spending time with your patrons, if you enjoy the spirits industry, if you enjoy what you're doing, this can be a lucrative career path that you'll have fun with for the rest of your life.
Easily.
And that's why, that's another reason why I wanted to bring you on, is because you've done a very good job of making sure everyone that knows that stops at the Starling that you love what you do. Yeah. And then even the people that work underneath you and that work on beside you, you feel that energy from them as well too. And even if it is a means to an end for whoever works with you, you feel the energy from them. So that means a lot. And especially as a patron, I don't know about everyone else, but I know for me and Chris, like, we tip higher for that. So just saying.
Well, I just feel like it definitely gives you a better experience also. And just that, like, you feel like you're in good hands. Mm-hmm. Where you're like, these people actually care about the cocktail in front of me, the whiskey that they're pouring, my experience as a whole. Because it, I don't ever want to, like, if bartending or waitressing or whatever is kind of like a, you know, like you're supplementing to where you're going to go in life. Mm-hmm. That's great. And that's very important.
Sure.
But there are also people who have made it their careers, which is kind of how my team is currently also. And I think that if you actually care about something and you do want to give it your all, just like in anything, you can feel that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Something else I wanted to touch on too is when I sit down at a bar, like it makes a big difference too. When I sit down and like, oh, you have whatever whiskey up there. And if they can tell me about it, that means a lot because they took the time and effort to learn about that.
Right.
And like, you can tell me about anything that's up there. Anyone that works at the Starling can tell me about anything that's up on that bar right now.
Yeah.
And that's incredible. Cause like, oh, hey, I haven't seen that before. Like, what do you know about that? And they can go through and be like, oh yeah, this is this, that, and the other.
Right.
And that's really cool. Especially as like a whiskey lover, as Chris and I are. And I think that says a lot about why Chris shows up a lot and why he's considered the regular at the Starling more so than I am.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, education is super important to me. And both of y'all know that I will go on like a whole tangent about whiskey or cocktails or spirits in general to anyone who will listen. And so that starts with my bar staff. Right. Or they're like, okay, we get it. You can stop talking now. But yeah, education is very important. And my staff just exemplifies that every day.
So where did your love for knowledge come from? Does that make sense?
Yes. I think it just kind of dates back to wanting to be the best at anything that I do. And so anytime I would do anything, I wanted to know all about it. So the most fun thing that I've ever wanted to know about is definitely spirits and cocktails.
Not Pokemon?
Not Pokemon, no. I did get into Pokemon Go for a long time, and I did get very into it.
Okay.
I was like, I went hard. So again, like just kind of proving my point where it's like, if I'm going to do something, like I want to really know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And then I just, it helps when you also fall in love with it too, which is what I did with bartending.
Which makes sense. Sorry. Yeah. And for those who are too young, the reference was, I want to be the very best. Ash Ketchum did retire this year. He will no longer be the lead of the Pokemon series, unfortunately.
Wow.
Yeah. I was real depressed. Okay, not actually depressed. I saw
a meme. You can be depressed. It's okay.
I saw somebody the other day post something. They're like, Ash Ketchum is not going to be the... I was like, wait, I haven't watched Pokemon in like 20 years, but yet I still care about this fact. I was like, yep, that sounds about right. That is the joys of being a millennial.
Truly.
So enjoying life, learning things. How did you end up at the Starling?
I ended up at the Starling because I have known Matt Ray, mm-hmm. who's on the podcast, and Abby, his business partner, for a very long time. And I have done events with Abby has her other
catering company.
Yeah, other business. I was going to call it a sister business, but it's technically not because Matt has no part in Assault and Charm, but that was Abby's exclusively. And so she would do like private dinners and ask for to have a cocktail pairing or a bartender at these events. And because I knew Matt, that was kind of the link between all of us is that I would come work these events for Abby. And I kept in touch with him when I wasn't living here. And then one day Abby called me and said, hey, we're going to open a bar and we want you to come run it. And I said, okay, I'm on my way.
You're like, I'm on my way.
Literally, yeah.
I love it. And because you've taken over kind of building up the menu, and this is spoiler alert, we're enjoying life and we're going to be releasing some fun stuff, like Tyler said, video wise. What was the first drink you came up with?
Like ever or for the Starling?
For the Starling.
Both. I want to know both.
So we'll go with what when you curated, came up with a drink off, what was the first one you made up?
The Starling was the first cocktail that I knew I wanted on my menu. Okay. When Matt and Abby told me the concept that they wanted to open a whiskey and wine bar, because Matt loves whiskey and Abby loves wine, I knew my first thought immediately was in New York Sour and playing sort of into that. And so I created the Starling, which originally started as more like a summer seasonal, like spring, summer seasonal cocktail with Elijah Craig bourbon, a pineapple and honey syrup, blanc vermouth, and a Pinot Noir float, and then transformed into apple cider over the winter season.
Wait, you added apple cider into it?
Yeah, into the Starling that exists right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
I haven't tried that yet.
You just tried it.
There was an apple cider in that?
Yeah, it was apple cider and honey.
Sorry, my brain was like, wait. I was like, wait, hold up. So going back and like, does it matter what whiskey wine pairing you use to make that? It was like there a reason why you picked Elijah Craig in the Pinot Noir?
Yes. I wanted to use Elijah Craig, first of all, because of I knew I wanted to use something from the Elijah Craig lineup as like a staple there, because it's the grandfather of bourbon. Mm-hmm. Like Elijah Craig has, like, everyone knows Elijah Craig. Yes. And has seen it on a back bar. Then the Pinot Noir, when you're floating wine in a cocktail, you don't want it to be too overpowering, which can often happen with something like a Cabernet or like a Mencia or something like really big and bold that has a huge body and ton of flavor. So something like a Pinot Noir is going to float nicer and give more subtle of a flavor, just viscosity wise, even. Yeah. Just because it is not so textured.
Huh.
Yeah.
I would have never known that. That's why I invite you on
Science,
here.
Baby.
Science. And so then, wait, what was the first drink you actually made? Not for the bar.
Well, I was going to tell you about my first, like my OG pink drink. I have no idea what the first cocktail I ever like.
Oh no, I
want to
hear about this pink drink.
So it actually is because of Abby McGee. It was one of the events that we were doing.
Okay.
And I made a drink called Pink Ambrosia, and it was delicious. It was like pink peppercorn infused tequila. Hmm. Delightful. Campari, probably some sort of citrus, and aquafaba, which is like a vegan alternative to egg whites. Oh, made okay. with chickpeas. Yeah. And I think I probably put some soda in there also. Either way, it was very vibrantly pink. And I posted it on Instagram. And I was really proud of the cocktail. It was delicious. And everyone was like, you make a lot of pink drinks. And I never really thought about it, but that was like the one that stemmed it. And I put several variations of it on cocktail menus over the years, but that was the pink drink that started it all.
So will it be making a return for the summer
menu? It's been in my mind for sure. Yeah.
Because I know you guys like typically you update your cocktail menu seasonally, right? At least. That's why I was like, ooh, I wonder if it's going to show up for summertime. Because that sounds like something you would drink like when it's warmer outside.
Definitely. Yeah, it is. Pink peppercorn in general always just has such a summer vibe to it because it's so citrusy. But yeah, we might have to bring that bad boy back.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
we'll bring that back when the third level opens up.
Yes, yes. When the rooftop opens, it's going to be a glorious day. Oh, and we're all just going to be standing up there like, wow, this is great.
This finally happens.
Hopefully with tequila in our glass or whiskey. I can give you whiskey too if you'd like.
And like we mentioned, Kaylee will be back on, hopefully as a regular occurrence, because she does bring so many insights when we mention herbaceous and talk about different like random drinks. It is because Kaylee has brought them to my attention and has totally just blown my mind with combinations of things. And I will promise you, I will not be having chartreuse on the podcast.
That's not true.
No.
One day.
Not on the podcast.
We'll put it in a cocktail. We'll make cocktails on the podcast with chartreuse in it. I'm going to make you like it. We're going to get you there.
You're also trying to think that I'm going to love Jaeger and don't
that's
know.
Absolutely gonna happen too.
No. We're okay with that.
No, Jaeger is just like an Amaro. It's just German Amaro that sometimes people put in Red Bull and ruins it for the rest of us.
Correct. Or you take it as a shot on your birthday on top of the other six drinks you had.
That's a you thing, not a Jaeger thing.
I'm just saying. I love, like, it was interesting. And I'm like, ooh, this is fancy. But do I need it in my life?
Yes.
Maybe.
I should have brought Jaeger on the podcast today.
I would have vehemently argued no against that one. So bad.
Next time.
Okay, I'm down for the next one.
Yeah, you have a lot to do today, but you know, next time we
do
end the day with it.
So this episode is a short but sweet because we're just introducing you guys to the, like I said, the queen of craft cocktails in the Cargo District. And I think it's just kind of fun to just every once in a while throw in a short one.
Yeah.
But keep an eye out. Like Tyler said, we will be introducing a video here or there somewhere whenever he gets to edit it, because my computer dies every time I try and edit anything. Every single time.
Hate that.
Yes. But we will be trying this Wild Turkey Kentucky Spirit, which is a single barrel, next time. And I will also be getting Kaylee to explain single barrels. Because we've had it a few times on here.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
At least twice. I'm just looking back at like what we have behind us. Yeah, that's also something we're looking at is like a full video form.
Yeah.
Also requires Tyler.
Tyler.
Please, pretty. So before we fully end, where can they find you? Do you want them to follow you on social media?
You can follow me on social media. It is like my personal one. So some people are going to be like, that's a picture of your boyfriend or the cats that you live with or, but that's fine. If you want to do that, my Instagram is Kaylee Likes Pink Drinks. Okay. Or if you follow the bar, I often make features on it at the Starling Bar, or I'm always there also.
Not always.
Not on Wednesdays. Very seldomly on Wednesdays. I try and take Wednesdays off, but someone delightful will be there.
You get 3 days off. Because you guys aren't working Monday or Tuesdays.
Just for right now, we're gonna ramp it back up in the spring season.
I'm gonna need a job application. I would love 3 days
also,
off.
I was gonna say, I love that you think I take 3 days off. Like, there is so much behind the scenes work that I have to do. I don't get 3 days off.
Oh, yeah.
But we're just closed for 3 days.
Okay, that makes way more sense. People look at me and they're like, oh, Chris, aren't you working? No, I'm at home.
Yeah.
But yet I've still, throughout this episode, I've received like 6 or 7 mm-hmm. work messages.
And it never ends. I put my phone on the ground so I didn't look at it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I'm excited for whatever comes this year.
Yeah, we're going to do fun stuff. That's for sure.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
I'll make sure to be less rigid next time we record a video.
Oh, podcast. Yeah. We'll get you comfy behind the bar. Don't worry.
I can't be.
Do you remember when you asked for a job application?
I can't be. I can't be 4 drinks in when I'm behind the bar.
That's illegal in North Carolina anyway, so like, you know.
Which is sad. If I cross I remember going to South Carolina in Charleston, like buying the bartender a drink. And I'm like, why can't I do that here?
Yeah.
I feel like y'all would be fucked up.
Yeah. It's like it's annoying that we can get in trouble if we do take a shot or something. However, it does keep people in line, which is important. It's like, you know, I don't want to like out myself and be like, oh yeah, I've been drunk behind a bar before, which I haven't in North Carolina, to be fair, but it's not as enjoyable to work when you're drunk as it seems like it would be. You're just kind of like, I actually just kind of want to sit down and keep drinking. I don't want to be working anymore.
Ipso facto, that is how you get fired. When you sit down and just start making drinks.
I've heard of this. Yeah, I've heard of that phenomenon.
Oh, I love it. But yes, thank you so much, Kaylee. High fives.
It's been great.
Thanks for coming on and for bringing on this Bardstown plan.
Yeah.
What is this series called?
This is their collaboration series.
Collaboration series.
Bardstown Bourbon Company. It was their collaboration with Plantation Rum. And Bardstown is actually coming out with their own whiskey, releasing this year at some point. I think it already has in Kentucky. We're waiting on it to get allocated and all that fun stuff that comes with being in a control state. But I have had the opportunity to try their own whiskey that they have made in-house and have waited to age 6 years, and it is fabulous, and I would love to get my hands on it and bring it and have you guys try it with me.
Oh, I'm totally trying it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm awesome. So yes, everybody, thank you for listening to the episode. Keep an eye out for all the fun, interesting things we'll be adding onto the season. And if you ever want to buy me a drink, there is a really nice owl at the Starling that you can just be like, hey, put that on my tab and let Chris have it next time he comes in.
I actually need someone to do that for you so you can stop talking about it.
Please. I think it's the buildup is what makes it so much better.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes. That's what she said. Cheers.